Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the fifth week of our series called Faith Is, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley explains that faith is believing. Enjoy the message.
Now, let me dive into the message for a little bit. Let's just talk about this idea that faith is, okay? And when I say faith is, here's what I mean. That we've been in this series, we've been talking about faith, we've been saying faith is evident, and faith is sacrificial, and faith is pleasing, and faith is active. And today I want to say this, that faith is believing. It's believing that God wants what is best for you because you matter to Him. Think about your parents for a second. Think about the mamas in the room right now. Most mamas want what is best for their kids, right? You know what I mean? Like I could probably say it this way. And my mom wants what's best for me as well. But what I really meant was my wife, okay? That my wife, she might have a problem in this area because she just wants what is best for her kids. And because of that, she'll do anything for them. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't matter. She's going to do everything she possibly can because she wants what is best for them. She wants them to have the best stuff. She wants them to have the best life. She wants them to have the best career. She wants them to have the best relationship. So she'll do whatever she can. Now, it doesn't mean that she doesn't discipline. It doesn't mean that she doesn't set rules or she doesn't have guidelines. It doesn't mean that she gives our kids everything they want. Because sometimes she says, that's not what you need, right? And that's the Lord. That is a picture of the Lord in our life as well. That Lord, the Lord, God, He wants you to have what is best. Now, what is best might be different than what you're thinking. But we need to get to the place where we trust God and say that I believe, because faith is believing, that I believe that God wants what is best in my life because He is for me, because I matter to Him. And if I believe that, then no matter what I'm going through, I can believe that nothing is too difficult for God. Well, like if there's some phrases I want you to cling to today, those are all of them. That I want you to believe that there's nothing too difficult for God. Because I need to know that, because if I believe that God has what is best for me, but I don't believe that God can accomplish the impossible, then I'll question whether or not God can do what is best. But if I believe that God wants what is best for me because I matter to Him, then if I also hold on to this belief that nothing is too difficult for Him, then He can accomplish what is best. I don't know if this is making sense yet. I don't know if you're catching it yet. Let me dive deeper into it. Maybe I could say it this way, that I want you to believe that God has a better place for you, and I want you to believe that God has a better plan for you because God wants what is best for you. And we can see all of that by just looking back at a story that we find in Scripture. That we can go to the story of Abraham. And in Abraham's story with his wife Sarah and his son Isaac, we can see how the Lord wants what is best, and that means that He has a better plan and a better place. And we'll see it by just diving into it. So let me dive into it. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 8 says this. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. And let me pause there just to so you can catch the whole story. That if you go to Genesis chapter 12, that's where you get the whole story of this. And what it was is Abraham was hanging out in his fields. He had lots of land, lots of cattle, lots of livestock. He had a wife, he had family, didn't have kids yet, but he had a family and a wife. Life was great for him. And while he was there, God showed up and said, Abraham, I want to give you a great inheritance. But for you to get this great inheritance, I need you to go to a different place, meaning I've got a better place for you. And he had to do this not knowing where the place was. That it says he went without knowing where he was going. That he basically said, okay, God, I believe you, so I'm going to start walking. Now, you can read that in the story and think, okay, no big deal. Remember, he had to go home and tell the missus what was going on, right? Like, think about that. Think about that. If you're a young adult and you just go to your parents and say, hey, I'm heading this way. I don't know where I'm going, but that's what God told me to do. They'd be like, are you sure you heard God right? Well, like if you're a husband and you go to your wife and you say, the Lord has told us to move. And she's like, where are we going? Hawaii? Tahiti? Where are we going? I don't know. Oh, well, I don't know if God spoke then, right? See, Abraham had to have faith. He had to have the belief that God was sending him to a place that he didn't even know where it was yet. And he had to have the faith to do this while life was going great. Don't miss this part of the story. See, too often we think of it that he was in the middle of a bad position, that he was in the middle of hardship, that he was in the middle of trouble, and he's like, man, I gotta find my way out, I gotta find something. And we talk about those kind of situations a lot at church, where you find yourself in a bad situation, you find yourself in the dumps, and you're like, is there any way out? And yes, there is a way out. Yes, God has a better place. But I want you to see it first today from the standpoint of life was great. Like for some of you in the room, for some of you watching online right now, life is great. That if you just looked at your life, right, you'd say, man, life is great. I am blessed. And maybe in the midst of the point of when life is great, that's when God's saying, I still got someplace better for you. And I think we need to know that is because no matter where you're at right now, you haven't arrived. Like no matter where you're at in life right now, you haven't arrived. Like maybe you've taken a first step with Jesus, you haven't arrived. Maybe you're thinking life is great, you haven't arrived. Maybe you're coming towards the end of your life, you haven't arrived. There's still a better place for you, a place that God has built for you. And that's what we see in Abraham's story. Go back to the book of Hebrews. It says this in verse 9. It says, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. That what Abraham is doing in his life is even when he's headed and he's hit that land where God has said, I need you to go, when he got there, he didn't build a structure, he lived in a tent. And the reason why is because he knew, I'm not there yet. I still haven't arrived. That he had a faith that he believed that this world wasn't his home, that God had an eternal home in store for him. And I want us to recognize that as well. That as great as this place is, as great as America is, as great as South Carolina is, as great as Horry County is, this isn't it. Let me be honest with you. I love where I live. I've lived a lot of places in America. Lived a lot of places. Liked them all. Maybe not Illinois. Too high taxes, too much snow, okay? But I can pretty much say I've lived everywhere I've lived, I've enjoyed. And I love it here. Like I would say out of all the places I've ever lived in my 20 plus years of life, plus, there's a plus. It's 20 plus. You have to fill in the rest. This is my favorite. I love it. I love this place. But it's not my home. It's the place I'm traveling through. Because I haven't arrived. None of us have. All right? And we're going to talk a lot more about this in 2 weeks. So I'm not going to go much further. But I want you to at least camp out here for a second and recognize that God has an eternal place in store for you. So walk with him towards eternity. That I believe that when God showed up to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to travel with me, and I'm not going to tell you where you're heading yet. I believe he was doing that so that Abraham would trust him. I believe that Abraham was traveling with God so he could learn to trust him, because in the midst of the travel, in the midst of the walking, he would come across trials. He would come across temptations. He would come across testing. And if he didn't learn to trust him through the travel while he was walking, he would never trust him in the trial or the temptation or the testing. And the same is true with us. We have to believe that God has a better place, an eternal place, so we've got to walk with him and we've got to travel with him. And while we do that, always remember he has a better plan. Because it's a guarantee while you travel with God, you will have trials, you will have temptation, you will have testing. And all we got to do to figure that out is look back at Abraham's story. That in part of Abraham's story that he took off on this journey, him and his wife Sarah, and part of that desire was that they knew that God said, you're going to have an inheritance and you're going to have kids and you're going to have your family is going to like populate the earth. So they're like, well, let's go and let's do this. But while they're traveling, a child never came. Like year after year, right? Abraham was 75 when he was told to travel. So he's already old. Sarah was already old. But they were like, okay, God, we believe you. But then as they started to travel, Sarah started to lose faith. Year after year of not being able to have a child. And eventually she said, well, God says that he has a better plan, but it sure doesn't seem like his plan is coming into fruition. And if his plan isn't working in my life, I'll come up with my own plan. Oh, none of us have ever done that, have we? None of us have ever said, well, God, I see your plan, but your plan doesn't seem to be working on my timetable. So I'm gonna help your plan along. And that's what Sarah actually did. She said, God, you said I would have a son, but it doesn't seem like I'm able to have kids. So what I'm going to do is give my servant to Abraham, to my husband, and I'm going to let my husband sleep with my servant so he can have a child. Guys, let me help you with something. Anytime you think God's plan is for you to sleep with somebody who's not your spouse, that's not God's plan. That's your plan. And your plan will lead the wrong direction. Every time. Every time. That Sarah says, sleep with my servant. And Abraham's over there going, this doesn't seem like the right move. And he did. And they had a son. His name was Ishmael. And that was their plan, not God's plan. Don't intercept God's plan with your plan. Trust him because his plan is better. When you're going through the trial, trust his plan. When you're going through the hardship, trust his plan. When you're going through the marital difficulties, trust his plan. When you're going through relationship problems, trust his plan. When you have a desire to get married, but it doesn't seem like the right guy's coming along, don't go for the wrong guy. Trust his plan and stick to it and stick around for the right guy because God's got a plan. Trust his plan. Trust his plan in the midst of the trial. This is what it might mean. You might have to wait. Well, I don't want to wait. Everybody else is doing it now, so I don't want to wait. No, wait on the Lord. Trust his plan in the midst of the trial or in the midst of the temptation or in the midst of the testing. See, in between the trial and the testing, we have a situation that happened that, you know, like I said, Abraham and Sarah, they ended up, you know, having a child named Ishmael through Sarah's maidservant. But then a little bit later, when Abraham was about 99 years old, the Lord showed up to him again and said, Abraham, remember I told you you're going to have a son? Well, when I come back and I'm around you next year at this time, Sarah's going to be pregnant. And Sarah overheard this from the distance. And when Sarah overheard this, she laughed to herself. And I love it because the Lord said, all right, not a preacher said, not Abraham said, not a prophet said, the Lord said, God said, Abraham, why is your wife laughing? Is anything too difficult for me? Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. It's a verse that all of us should grab a hold of. Because in it, God said, not somebody else said about God, God said, is anything too difficult for me? Is anything impossible for me? Is anything too hard for me? And what God is saying is, nothing's too hard. You're having marital problems? That's not too difficult for me. You're having relationship problems? That's not too difficult for me. You're having financial problems? That's not too difficult for me. You're having health problems? That's not too difficult for me. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. I've got to trust him in the midst of the trial and in the midst of the testing. Because testing comes as well. Some things are trials, hardships. Some things are testing that the Lord brings into our life. And he brings them into our life so that our faith will grow stronger, so that our faith will be believing. And that's what happened next, because sure enough, Abraham and Sarah eventually had a child. His name was Isaac. And after Isaac had grown up a little bit, we don't know how old. Okay, let me just say this right away. We don't know if he was a child. We don't know if he was a teenager. We don't know if he's a young adult. I will give you my opinion. He wasn't a child. My opinion in the rest of this story is he was probably at least a teenager, maybe a young teenager, but at least strong enough that he could carry something. And here's what I mean, that the next part of the story says this, that Abraham one day heard the Lord speak to him again. And this time the Lord said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him to the mountain that I will show you. And when you get there, I want you to sacrifice him to me. And I'm sure right now, some of you, this is the first time you've heard this story. You're like, what? Like, time out. Like, the son that God had promised him to have, he now has, and now God's telling him to sacrifice? That doesn't sound like a good God. Hold on to the story for a little while. I'm sure even Abraham at the moment's like, what? Like, we don't have the in-between. We have recorded what God said. And then we have, so Abraham left. I don't know what happened in between. My guess is, again, guessing, my opinion, is at some point he went to his wife and he said, hey, me and Isaac, we're going to go have some father-son time. Because my guess is he didn't say, hey, by the way, God told me I need to go sacrifice our only son, so we're going to head to the mountain. Right? Like my guess is, again, my opinion, is that he probably left some of those details out. Because all the mamas in the room go, oh, no. But Abraham believed. And he grabbed Isaac. And they headed towards a mountain. And as they went towards this mountain, they got to the foot of the mountain. And he told the servants to stay there. And him and Isaac started to climb the mountain. And as they were climbing the mountain, it says that Abraham was carrying the fire. And Isaac was carrying the wood. And again, if you're strong enough to carry enough wood for a sacrifice, it tells me you're probably not a young child. So you need to visualize that. Because then what happens next is even more significant. Because when they get to the top of the mountain, or as they're walking up the mountain, Isaac says to Abraham, he says, hey dad, you've got the fire and I've got the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the ram? And Abraham simply says, well, God will provide. God will provide. So they get to the top and they build this altar. And they put the wood down. And the next thing we see in the story is Isaac laying on the wood. I can just imagine the conversation. I can just imagine Abraham going, son, I trust God. In the midst of the test, I trust God. We got to do this. That's just, again, my opinion of it is I think Isaac was probably strong enough to carry the wood. He's probably strong enough to fight his dad trying to put him on the altar. So my guess is Isaac had some faith in this story as well. And the next thing you know is we just see them in this moment. And what makes Abraham go to this extent? What makes Abraham say, yes, I'll put my son on the altar. I'll trust you in the midst of this trial and in the midst of this testing. Well, all we got to do is look back to Hebrews because scripture tells us. It says it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. God won't try you, but God will test you to strengthen your faith. Make sure you know that. He won't tempt you, but he will test you because he wants us to grow. because we haven't arrived yet. He wants what is best for us. So he tested him. He said, Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. I mean, what puts that in Abraham's mind? Like, Abraham had never seen that before. He had never seen somebody come back to life. But you know what he had seen? He had seen God say, is anything too difficult for me? And when Abraham was 100 years old, a son came to him. That he had seen God say, I've got a better place for you. So he went towards a better place. Do you see the testimony of time? While he was traveling with God, he was learning to trust God. And rather than have his own plan, he said, I'm going to believe that God's got a better plan. So he's standing there at the altar with a knife in his hand. And I can just imagine him saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I'm waiting on you, Lord. And then in the middle of it, all of a sudden he sees a ram over in a thicket. He hears the voice of the Lord say, Abraham, I see your faith. Faith is believing. And you believe that I would show up. And you believe that I have a better plan. You believe in me. You trust me. There's a ram. And he's available for the altar. He's available for the sacrifice. And the challenge today is this. Because I don't know what God might call you to sacrifice. I don't know what kind of plan God has in store for you. But this is what I know. His plan is better than your plan. And his plan is better than my plan. Because God's plans are better. So when you're going through a time of testing, wait on the Lord. When you're going through a time of trial, wait on the Lord. That I'll wait on the Lord because I'm going to believe that his plan is better. I'm going to believe that his place is better. I'm going to wait on the Lord while I walk with the Lord because I believe that God wants what is best for me because I matter to God and that God can do the impossible in my life. That's what I believe. So if we believe that, then whatever trial you're going through right now, whatever testing you're going through right now, whatever temptation you might be faced with right now, wait on the Lord. Because the Lord will renew your strength. The Lord will take care of your life. The Lord will take care of your plans. The Lord will take care of your future. The Lord will prepare a place for you. The Lord will provide. So wait on him. Think about life like this, that I need to wait and wait and wait and wait as I walk and walk and walk and walk. I wait on the Lord. Will you wait on him? Will you walk with him? Because he's got a better plan and he's got a better place.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.